Portion of John chapter 4. Lord, I pray you will bless it. I pray you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, help us see, Lord, what you want us to see. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 4 and verse 43, it says, "Now after 2 days he departed from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine." Now backing up here, Jesus, he was in Samaria there for 2 days, then he went to Galilee, and then verse 44 says, Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Now what does that mean? Now one of the things that I've seen many times, and I was reflecting on this last night when I hear about preachers going to, when they surrender to preach, it seems like God calls them away to some other area. It's not very often that they stay in an area where they grew up. And I was kind of wondering about that after I read this. And that'd be like saying, let's say we know somebody here in Chase City is like the town, just the good old boy. Somebody's been here for a long time. And then God decided to call him to start a church here, right? It's one thing, everybody would hear him preaching, there would be some kind of disconnect. Why? Because they've known this guy all their life. They've seen him. They knew him as, let's say he was a farmer and that's all he did. And he had a little store in town. But they've known him for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden for him to become a pastor, it'd be kind of hard to take him seriously. And I don't know what the psychological disconnect is with that. And that wouldn't be the case for everyone. But for many people, they'd see that and say, well, he's probably not serious about it. I don't know. But there would be some kind of psychological disconnect to try to take that person seriously. And the same thing was happening back in these days. And the same thing tends to be true nowadays. You'll see a preacher when he starts preaching, and most of the time, he doesn't stay in his home area. You know, he might be a county over. He might be a little ways off, where people don't know him very well. And this says, "And Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee." So he ended up, after he traveled from Samaria, ended up back in the place where he turned the water into wine. And at the end of verse 46 there, it says, "And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said, 'Unless people see signs and wonders, you by no means will believe.'" Now this was Jesus almost talking out of frustration a bit. Why? Because he says, you know, I'm sitting here telling you all this gospel message. I'm telling you everything about the Lord. But until you see a miracle of some kind, nobody's wanting to believe anything. You want all these signs and wonders. You want all this. You want all these fireworks and everything like that. If I was to go and tell somebody about fireworks that had never seen fireworks before, and I would say, yeah, fireworks are real. They shoot up in the sky. They make a loud boom and all these kinds of things. You know, a lot of times people, their first inkling would be, well, prove it. I've never seen anything like that, so I'm not going to believe it. So on one hand, you can kind of sympathize. Well, I understand why it's hard for them to believe that the Son of God has come in the flesh, right, to save us all from our sin. I kind of understand that. But what Jesus is saying here, this is where faith comes in. Now, faith is an important thing in the kingdom of heaven. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, you'll see how much God puts on faith, how much he values faith. People that can believe and people that can take steps forward in their belief, even though they have not seen what is being talked about. Right? If I was to tell you, do you believe in heaven? Right? Hopefully all of us would say yes. Right? And of course, we understand that through salvation, the Holy Spirit helps us out with these things. But of course, we believe in heaven. But you know what? There's people that aren't Christians that believe in heaven and hell also. What causes them to believe in these things? Not because they'd seen it, right? But they do believe in it. Right, so that's kind of an example. But Jesus here was a little frustrated. He said, everybody here wants to see signs. Everybody, before they believe, they want to see some kind of miracle. Right? So he says that, and there's two things. I think he's frustrated on one hand, but I think on the other hand, he's using it to test this nobleman. This nobleman is coming out saying, heal my son. And if Jesus says something to discourage him, he might be thinking, well, he's going to go on his way. His faith will crumble, if you will, and that'll be the end of it. But what happens? This man doesn't get discouraged, does he? We see in verse 49, it says, after Jesus kind of says, you won't believe until you see some signs. And instead of this nobleman being discouraged, he says, sir, come down before my child dies. He gets even more adamant about it. His prayer, if you will, or his request to the Lord is even more adamant. You know, there are times when we're praying to the Lord for something, praying for salvation for a loved one, we're praying for healing, we're praying for whatever it might be. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord will hold back a little bit. You know, how serious are we about that prayer? Do we just kind of continue on in the same level of fervor, if you will, in our prayer? Or do we get more serious about it? Do we try fasting and praying? One of these days we'll have to do a study on fasting and praying and the power of fasting. Some people might say, well, the Bible doesn't command fasting. Well, in the Bible, whenever fasting is talked about, it's almost kind of like common sense. The Bible, even when Jesus says, he doesn't say you should fast, but when Jesus talks about fasting in Matthew in the Beatitudes, he says when you fast. He was talking to people about fasting like they just did it anyway, like it was a way of life. But for us, fasting is not necessarily a way of life. But one of these days, we'll have to do a study on it. Fasting is a very powerful thing when it comes to prayer and comes to going to the Lord for things. Man, fasting is powerful. I've got so many stories. Oh my goodness. We'll be praying about something, even some things here at church. Different issues that we've had to deal with here. And it's gotten serious when we're thinking, man, Lord, it just doesn't seem like it's getting any better. And me and Angel will say, let's fast about it. And we'll take a day of fasting and we'll pray about it. And I tell you what, I can't think of one instance, the thing that we prayed for that's really burdened us down, that after fasting and praying about it, it's better. I'll be honest with you. It's gotten a lot better. And to the point where it seemed like before our prayers didn't amount to anything, right? And we know our prayers amount to something. But after we decided to fast and pray about it, man, it felt like the Lord gave us not only peace about it, but things really started moving forward, right? And that's our testimony about it, right? And the way we do fasting is just what we normally do is we will skip breakfast and we will skip lunch. We'll eat dinner, right? There's some people out there stronger than us, you know, and there's been times when we fasted for longer than that. But generally in our regular fasting, we'll just fast for breakfast and lunch. And then for dinner, we'll eat. And instead of eating eggs and sausage, what we'll do is we'll get our Bible out and we'll pray about the issues that we're praying about. Usually we'll limit it to two or three things. And then for lunch, we'll get our Bible out and read and we'll pray about it again at lunch. And then dinner time, well, we just leave it in the Lord's hands and we'll eat our dinner. But this guy, he's not discouraged. He gets even more adamant. He says, Lord, if you don't come down, he's going to die. He's not asking anymore. He's kind of making a statement. And then Jesus said in verse 50, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Man, that quickly. Go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. Now here we get to a very interesting part. It says, when he was going down, a servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Well, praise the Lord, my son lives. You know, what a great thing that is. You know, he believed the miracle of Christ. You know, praise the Lord. I mean, this nobleman is just overjoyed that his son is going to live. But here we get to an interesting part about this whole thing. The nobleman, he's probably an analytic because he asked some questions of his servant. He says, then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. He's just kind of curious. When did he get better? You know, I've been traveling. You know, how long has it been since he got better? And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Now, we break this down, right? Let's look back here at verse 50, and we're going to break this down. This is an interesting thing. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So when Jesus said that, what happened after that? That's the cause and effect. If I was to throw a rock through that window, what would happen, right? The cause would be the rock. What would be the effect? Well, the window's broken, right? That would be the cause and effect. What came first? Well, the rock came first because it had to leave my hand and it was traveling through the air before it actually hit the window. So the rock came before the breakage of the window, right? Now what happens here in verse 50? Jesus heals his son before the belief actually happened. I think that's kind of a neat thing. And we understand that sometimes the order of things can sometimes be a little bit different. But what's interesting here is that Jesus says, go your way, your son lives, right? The son was healed. As soon as Jesus spoke it, you better believe that's exactly the time when it happened. And the nobleman inquired of his servant, trying to figure out, when was my son healed? And then he discerned, he figured out, was about the same time that Jesus said that. But if we look in verse 50, it says, Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. And then it says, so the man believed on the word of God. So the man believed and he went on his way. So Jesus was already committing the act. He was already healing the son before there was belief, if you will, from this man. You know, the reason why I bring that up is because sometimes in life we go through things. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. We see tragedy happen. And we're sitting there. Sometimes our faith will waver a little bit. Sometimes it might even completely fall apart. But you know what? It's not dependent upon our faith that God's going to do a work. Sometimes it helps if we're faithful, and it helps if we continue to believe on the Lord because we've not lost anything. We've gained something by letting our faith get tested that strongly and us not falling apart, right? According to James chapter 1. But you know what? But looking at this, we have to understand that even when times are tough, God already has a plan in place. He already's got a plan in place, whether we decide to believe or not. Right? And this man here's proof of that. So Jesus healed his son. It says, then this man believed. And it says, in the end of verse 53, and he himself believed and his whole household. This again is the second sign. So this was the second miracle that Jesus did in his life. The first miracle was that he turned water to wine. The second one was that he healed this nobleman's son. But one thing I want to encourage you all this morning is when times are tough, guess what? God's still got everything under control. It's not that he forgot, right? And I think about Norman and Connie. I think about Kay. I think about, you know, Sister Sherry. And let's say, you know, she was a little bit nervous about it. You know, she was telling some of us at Thursday night Bible study and the Sunday before, if you got a chance, that she was a little nervous. I mean, that of course she'd be nervous about any kind of surgery around your heart. Good night. Anybody would be nervous. But you know what? Even though she was nervous, even though, let's say that maybe her emotions were just getting a little bit off the path, if you want to call it that, off the perfect path, right? That, you know, God still said, guess what he said? I've got this under control. Even though you might be wavering a little bit, I've still got this under control. You know, talking with Norman, obviously it's completely understandable, his concern for his wife. And when I met him that night in the hospital, goodness, he just looked like that he was doing everything he could just to hold it together there in the emergency room. Of course, man, with good reason. You know, who wouldn't be? But at the same time, even during that time, God wasn't sitting back saying, well, I'm not going to do anything until you fix yourself and you get your faith right. No, God didn't say that. You know, guess what God did? He had everything completely under control. From even before the accident happened, God had everything under control. We have to remember these things. With Kay, poor Kay Burleson, and the things that she's going through. Her sister there about died, and then all of a sudden she gets a call that her son-in-law is in the hospital. Good night. Now then she's driving from Kentucky down to North Carolina. Guess what? During that time, God's got everything under control. You know what's interesting about, according to James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, if life were good 100% of the time, we would never lean on Christ like we should. That's the reason we have trials. That's the reason we have a test, to see how we're going to lean on Christ. Now, there are some people out there that they can lean on the Lord 100% of the time, and even though trials come, man, it seems like they're just peaceful, no matter what. All right, but there are others of us that we need our faith tested. We need that because according to James chapter 1, that strengthens our faith. That's what makes us walk closer with the Lord. If he didn't test us, you know, where would we be? Good night. I know for myself, sometimes these pains I get in my leg, if I didn't get them, I pray a lot more when I get pains in my leg. Let me tell you. All right, I do. But guess what? You know, I sit there and I have had people pray for me for years saying, Lord, take his pains away. I've told them to stop. Stop praying about that because it's good for me. One thing I've learned to realize, not in the moment, I don't think that, I'll be honest with you. In those moments, man, I'm thinking like, good night, what is wrong with me? Why am I thinking that way? But you know what? When I'm in my right mind of thinking, when I'm not having pains and I can sit here and reflect on these situations, I look at it and say, you know what? The Lord knows what he's doing. I pray a lot more when I have these pains, I'll tell you what. And that's a good thing. I'm glad God put it in my life. But we need these trials. We need them. There are many of us, you know, a lot of things happening these past couple weeks. It's interesting when you see ministry. It's interesting when you see the way things go sometimes in church. You'll see times of great blessing and times it seems like things are going easy. But then you'll see times when it seems like everything's falling apart. It might not be for everybody. But you'll see different members inside the church where it seems like, man, their lives are just, they're just really struggling. And then they get through it and everything seems to be going well. And then all of a sudden, yeah, man, we're back into it. We got another valley that maybe not the whole church is going through, but others are going through it and we all just feel the burden for them. And I wrote there in the bulletin, about bearing each other's burdens. You know, when we help bear each other's burdens, it doesn't mean that you have to send cards and flowers and feel bad because you didn't give a call or any of these other things. At the very least, we can help bear each other's burdens by praying. Man, pray one for another. I know I say that about every week, and we talk about that with our prayer list. But pray one for another. Man, we all got struggles. We all got things we need help with. You know, Chase City needs help. You know, those that are extremely concerned about Chase City and getting the economic stuff going, man, that's a weight on them. You know, God's placed that there for a reason. God's put that burden on their hearts because he's called them forth to try to help take care of it. Pray for those folks, right? Just because we're not sick and injured doesn't mean we don't need prayer. There's lots of things. Some of y'all might be struggling at work. You know, some of y'all might be struggling with the fact that school's about to start again. Good grief. That's probably weighing down. All right, school's about to start back over. You know, everybody needs prayer. Help each other. You know, somebody's dog might be sick. I had a scare the other day because my stinking dog, I don't know if y'all, some of y'all know it, he's busting his tail open. Ever since, have I told y'all about this? All right, one of the biggest trials that I've had in my recent life is my stinking dog, he will wag his tail so hard that he'll hit it on something, cut it open, and then before you know it, there's like a scene from NCIS, you know, all the murder scene, you know, throughout the house. And not just on the walls, but it's like on my glasses and I'm trying to wipe it off, and it's just ridiculous. And you know, I always put people over animals. I've always done that. Some people I know have a hard time with that. They'll look at their animals as kids, and that's just how God's put that on their heart. But anyway, when that happens, I look at this and say, you know what? This animal is now a nuisance to me. I need to do something to get rid of it. That's my way of thinking. You know, get rid of this. I've got kids. I don't need a dog, right? I get so upset at that stinking thing, and oh my goodness. But here comes Angela on the other side. What are you yelling at the dog for? I'm thinking like, wait a minute. What did I do wrong, right? So there's a trial there for me, you know, to be patient with my stinking dog. I've had this other theory before that the Bible says that we entertain angels unaware in the book of Hebrews. And I've had this theory sometimes, like, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if God made one of the angels into one of my animals just to test me at certain times and remind me that, guess what? That might be an angel there. You know, you better keep your cool and stuff. But that's been a big trial for me. That might seem funny. Now, it has nothing to do with me being hurt or me being sad or anything like that. But I tell you what, I'll need some of y'all's prayers sometimes. But he busted his tail the other night, and I thought that thing was going to, I thought it was going to start all the way over. Because we get advice from folks, we get medicine from folks. You know, we need help with this stinking dog sometimes. But anyway, thankfully it didn't get busted open. But my initial knee-jerk reaction was to almost start getting angry and somewhat despair about that. Because I'm thinking, here we go again, you know, trying to control this thing. And how can you tell a dog to stop being happy? You can't. Good night. And they see you and they're happy. And he doesn't wag his tail when he sees me, you know. But when he sees Angela, that's when it all happens, you know. So I'll be honest with you, because he knows I'm coming, and he doesn't wag his tail. Cause he's like, but yeah, honestly, that was a pretty big trial for me. I'll be honest, it might sound funny, but I'd lose my cool sometimes, that dog. Goodness sake. But anyway, I just thank you all for being here today. Don't forget to pray one for another. Trials come in all different forms and shapes and sizes, and they might, different avenues. They might, you know, devil tries to attack you. You know, but it's important that we pray one for another. You might think of Marilyn today and not know exactly how you're supposed to pray for her, but pray for her anyway. Lord, I just lift up Marilyn to you. I lift up Junior and Kenny and CD or whatever, whoever it might be. You know, folks go through stuff, and that's one reason we do Unspoken. Perfect example. We do Unspoken requests. There's a lot of things out there that folks don't want to say, or they don't want to take the time to say it because we're going to have 30 more prayer requests, you know, coming through, and we just don't have time. But that's why we do Unspoken. The Lord knows. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Holy Spirit knows how to pray on our behalf if we don't know how to pray for somebody. So pray one for another. Just lift up their name. Lift up their names to the Lord. He knows. He knows what he's supposed to do, and he knows how to take care of it. I'll go ahead and ask you all to stand to your feet. I know we're done a little bit early, but just a little bit, not too much. Have the musicians come forward. I thank you all for being here today. Next week we'll continue on with our study in the Gospels and continue building our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we keep studying the Word of God, our faith will grow. It's just the way it goes, like water and plants. All right, I think they're going to get Angela. Sometimes these quiet times, I feel like I gotta say something. He gets too quiet, and you're like, I don't know, maybe. What's going on this week? Try to stay cool this week. Stay in the shade. What else? You got anything, Diane?
Yeah, pray for Tony. Next Sunday, he'll be in the pulpit.
Amen. Council. That's fun, Tony. Yeah. That Saturday night, and that second, I remember before, when I was first started preaching, I remember that second before they'd ask, when they was getting ready to ask me to come forward to speak, I would get so nervous, I'd about fall over. I was thinking like, oh my goodness, here it comes. Am I going to be able to make it up to the pulpit? I feel my heart beating out of my chest, and oh my goodness. That's why I say, have fun with that, Tony. Been there, done that. Ugh, about 15 t-shirts. She coming? All right. I told her we was going to be done early, but she's used to me getting done about 5 after. So, yeah, be praying for Tony. It's good though, because it makes you take it serious. I'll be honest with you. That's one thing. It makes you take it serious. Oh, there we go.
Here I am.
I know.
Thank you.
guys stay cool this week. Remember to lift each other up in prayer, pray one for another. Look across the room. Remember a face. All right, remember a couple. All right, just pray for that person this week. I'll ask Grant if you could dismiss us in prayer.
I'm going to express Heavenly Father, thank you for affording us this luxury to come to your house today and worship. Thank you for helping us be receptive to the message. Help us to go out in our lives and walk and live according to your message and share the gospel with others. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to come up here. Thanks for coming in. I'm sorry if I didn't make sense.
Oh, I'm
no, no, this
is. I got my mind.
As I was leaving, he said,
that's
That's right.
Lord, is that your grandma? I remember her. Oh, I couldn't picture her face, but now I do. Thank you. Yeah, I had seen her. I actually didn't know her. I think it's more time than enough. I've been trying to put a face on it for a long time. And look, you have a good weekend. They can't sell.
Well, that's not for sure last night. We got around pretty much.
You take care now, okay?
Yeah. Y'all have a good one, Dean.
I hope you get a bottle of paper from me in the bank account. I tell you the truth. Damn, pitiful.
When you run and call the bank down.
Wildlife cameras, you know, people sitting there, they take a whole lot better pictures than them in the bank.
See you later.
All right, see you.
coming off of you. I don't want to stay on Wednesday.
It's on Wednesday.
Okay, maybe see you back on Sunday, Bethany.
I just.
Y'all take care, have a good week.
This thing is.
She slept all the way through.
I know. She went to bed early last night.
I'm still sleeping.
Come here, princess. All your friends did that. Church is over.
Back in these rooms.
Yeah, it's time for some lunch.
And they still close the doors on Sundays. I just went back and opened all the doors.
Yeah.
Because it's no air return in the room. The air return's in the hall.
Yeah.
So you gotta leave the doors open so it can suck that hot air over there and put cool
water. It was freezing in there when I went back there yesterday in that back room because the door had been open.
So, I opened it the other day.
Yeah. So I know that it works when the door is open. Because it was cold. It was like an icebox.
And we told them this morning. Billy went back and told them, go ahead and leave the door. It was closed again, so I opened it again.
Well, it automatically will swing shut because of the slant.
The pole, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't shut itself all the way. But
I pushed it all the way back and left it open in the middle of the week, and you said it was open.
Yeah. Mm. So, and I put a chair in there last time I was in there just to hold it open.
To the metal stuff and spray paint those too.
Yeah.
Get it a good coat for the wall.
Yeah.
I wish it didn't cost so much. I'd get my neighbor to sandblast it.
Oh.
But I don't know. I might ask him just see what he would charge.
Just price it out, yeah. See.
Because the guy lives right below me and runs a body shop.
Uh-huh.
He does sandblasting.
Yeah.
And see, he could bring it here and do it right there.
Right. Right. Just blast
it.
We
really don't have to have a tenant around. I mean, you go in there and they open it, it don't really make any difference. Yeah.
As long as they tarp the ground so we don't get little bits of stuff everywhere.
I'm going to get that. He does it down here, most all the time.
Yeah.
But that sandblasting, it breaks that thing up such fine particles, you won't hardly know it's
right. Right, right. All right, little mess.
I always imagine people are.
I gave them my keys and kept your keys.
Y'all have a good one.
So. Yeah, Nathan had your keys, and I'm like, I don't think Daddy knows. He's trying to take off with your keys.
I didn't. I thought they were just.
He was like, he's like, we're going home. I go down tonight for the first session, and I'm there till Friday night. Mm-hmm. So that's what I told him. I said, I can't go up to Roanoke this week. Because while it's not much time, I'll be down there for like an hour and 15 uh-huh. minutes each night. But it's each night.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, but I'm excited. I think it'll be good. Come on, Ariel. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I have at home, and I have one too, so we're good. And I bought us a new sander because I needed it in South Carolina last week, so we both have one. So that'll make quick work of it. Come on, Ariel.
Well, because he was thinking you might want to put it in your office.
I told him I'd clean it up. I don't know where we'll put it either, but I'll clean it up. Come on.
Ready, baby? You got keys?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't want that.
You don't have to sit in back. You can sit with mommy.
What do you want to do, silly? Look, somebody brought you stickers. Look at all these stickers somebody got. Hot in here.
You got hurt?
Yeah. Oh. Stickers? Come on, up here with Daddy. You gonna drive?
I don't wanna drive.
You wanna sit by mommy?
Yeah.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Do I have the number in my phone, or do you have it in yours?
My phone's in there, too.
Here you go. I'll go walk into the boys' room and go grab.
What do you want?
Pepperoni and black olive, I guess.
One or two?
Try two.
Two larges?
You're gonna tell the boys.
Hey, we're gonna go to town and get a pizza.
From Gino's.
Okay, I was gonna ask you.
Hey, you guys need to clean up in here a little bit, okay? Just pour up. Nathan.
Hi.
You need to clean up in here, bud.
Okay.
You smell that?
Yes, I do.
That cat litter, I think, needs to get a scoop too. It
smells good. Smells like oranges.
What's that?
It smells like oranges. Dad, she doesn't smell anything. She's so tired. Oh, one over there.
Good nuts. Smells like fart.
Look, that one's. She's so tired. She hates.
Okay, clean up in here, boys. Get it picked up. Alright, we're gonna go get pizza, okay? Mm-mm. We're back.
Okay.
Man, at first, I was sitting in church, and then I started thinking, like, wait a minute, why did I get Nate my keys? Is he starting the truck? I thought he'd get in the truck, start messing around with the thing, like start backing up, and I was like, oh crap. Then mommy said, oh no, they came here to. Oh, okay. We should give y'all house keys.
Yeah.
House key.
We're going like 60 when it's supposed to be 20. She's like, the speed limit says 60. I mean, step one.
Oh, it's so fast.
It's like, oh, found it. The cops are driving up 400 miles per hour. Why they're going 400 miles per hour, you're going 1,000? Like, we can't get that done. He's going 1,000, bro. What did you put in his engine? It pauses the video, it types up monsters for engine. Clean up! Hey, clean up. Clean up!
No.
gonna pop it.
Clean up!
Hey, you start it on the ground, I start the table, then I'll help you on the ground.
No. Nathan!
Where's Daddy's phone? There it is.
I am telling Daddy on the phone.
Telling Daddy on the phone. Yeah, Nathan's not cleaning up. Okay. Bye. Because Daddy said he's gonna ground you if you don't stop cleaning.
How do I know that?
And he said if you stop cleaning, or if it's not clean by the time we get home, we're gonna both get grounded.
He said both.
I don't care. Get up. Get up.
I don't care.
Get up.
Why don't you help?
Get up.
Why don't you help?
I'm trying to help. Get up.
But you're swaying me again.
Get up.
You're swaying me
Get again. Up. Get up.
You're swaying
Get me up. Get up.
You're swaying me again.
Get up.
You're swaying me again. Why?
Get up.
Yeah, that's the only answer you can say. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up.
Get up, Nathan. Come on.
Okay, I'll get up. And you gotta answer the question. Why?
Because you were sitting there.
Yeah.
And I told you to get up.
Daddy said that's like $30.
It is not $30. It's $15. I saw them get it. Come on, get up. Stop cleaning.
And you gotta stop.
Stop cleaning. Come on.
Come on.
Stop copying me. It's not my fault that you want to act like that.
What?
Daddy comes home, says, "What's wrong with Nathan? Oh, he's acting like this on purpose." Why don't you go clean the cat litter? want me to step on you? Nathan, get up. Don't pretend to start crying again. Come on, get up. Come on, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. You want me to tell Daddy you're not doing anything, you're laying on the ground? Okay, that's what I'm gonna tell. Because Nathan did nothing the whole entire time.
I did. I cleaned up a bit, and then you smacked me.
No, you cleaned up nothing. Then you started being stupid.
You smacked me.
Yeah, and I wonder why. Sitting on the ground, saying the same thing over and
because
over.
Because you kicked then me in you the caught.
You. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I did not kick you there.
Well, you didn't kick where you hit me.
I did not. I did not hit you there. I did not hit you there.
Then why are you screaming at me?
Because you're being an idiot. Get up and help. You're saying stuff that is not true. I did not kick you or hit you there. Yes, it is true. You're not cleaning up. You did not clean up a bit.